Welcome to NFP for Life with Dr. Les and Betty Ruppersberg.
You need to be able to educate yourself to understand what the Catholic Church teaches.
We need to understand our gifts and our abilities, and it's really about fertility awareness and responsible parenthood.
Dr. Ruppersberger is a board-certified OBGYN with an NFP-only practice in Langhorne, Pennsylvania. He and his wife, Betty, are both certified natural family planning instructors for the Family Life Office of the Archdiocese of Philadelphia.
God so wanted us to know the meaning and purpose of existence that he built it right into us.
A chaste lifestyle means joy and freedom.
If we promote it and promote it effectively, we will change the way people think about natural family planning.
It's a new journey in our faith.
And now, here are your hosts, Dr. Les and Betty Ruppersberger.
Good afternoon, brothers and sisters in Christ, and welcome to our program, NFP for Life. I'm Dr. Les Ruppersberger, and I'm here with my lovely Valentine.
Hi, I'm Betty Ruppersberger.
And we are joining you on Holy Spirit Radio, 1570 AM and 1420 AM in Coatesville. And we have a great program for you, we believe, this afternoon, and we would like to open with a prayer as we normally do, and Betty will lead us in that prayer.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We stand before you, Holy Spirit, conscious of our sinfulness, but aware that we gather in your name. Come to us, remain with us, and enlighten our hearts. Give us light and strength to know your will, to make it our own, and to live it in our lives. Guide us by your wisdom.
Support us by your power, for you are God, sharing the glory of the Father and the Son. You desire justice for all. Enable us to uphold the rights of others. Do not allow us to be misled by ignorance or corrupted by fear or favor. Unite us to yourself in the bond of love and keep us faithful to all that is true. As we gather in your name, may we tempt justice with love so that all our decisions may be pleasing to you and earn the reward promised to good and faithful servants. You live and reign with the Father and the Son, one God, forever and ever. Amen.
Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, it goes without saying that as we discern and pray on topics for our program, that every month the Holy Spirit guides us and leads us into that particular topic. And it also goes without saying that what has been on the minds and hearts of everyone for the past several weeks, especially interested Catholics across the country, is the HHS mandate that came from the government on providing contraceptive services. So we would like to discuss that, some aspects of that mandate that might give you a slightly different flavor based on our mutual medical background and being involved in healthcare and in the insurance industry. We'd like to start out the program by reminding you that we are live on Holy Spirit Radio at 215-345-1570. We welcome your phone calls and comments and any questions that you may have. But I'd like to start out by saying that one of the issues that I need to emphasize, and I'm sure you've heard this if you've listened to other Catholic radio programs or have read some information that has been made available through some of the Catholic media services or from the USCCB, that this particular mandate from the government of the United States is not one that really is about contraception. It's really one that's about religious rights and conscious rights. And we don't want to get into debating a political football, but we do want to speak to some of the more salient issues that really revolve around this right. As a Catholic physician right now, I'm on staff at a Catholic hospital, and that hospital currently employs somewhere in the neighborhood of 1,800 employees. And they provide health care as an employer to their employees. One of the things that Catholic hospitals and Catholic colleges, universities, institutions, and other employers have been able to do recently is to exclude coverage for contraceptive services, meaning hormonal contraception, IUDs, sterilization, and certainly abortifacient causing drugs such as the morning after pill. And these healthcare services that are provided go through secular and commercial insurance companies, and any employee who works at these institutions has the opportunity and the ability to go out and purchase these services and these coverages separate from their employer. They would just have to pay for it on their own volition, not any differently than if you wanted to purchase eyeglass coverage or dental coverage or upgrade your plan beyond what the normal plan that's provided by the employer. As an employer myself, employing over 45 employees, I have the ability to be able to discern in what type of coverage and what type of plan and what deductible I'm going to provide to my employees and how much they will contribute to it. So these services are currently available, and these options are currently available. And the other aspect of it is that anyone who doesn't have health insurance or anyone who could not afford to go out and purchase these services can go to publicly funded secular clinics that provide these services free of charge right now. There are multiple organizations, there are multiple clinics, there are other avenues, and although we're not advocating and promoting contraceptive services, we're just making the point that this mandate is really not about contraception, and it's really not about preventive health services for women. The Institute of Medicine was engaged by the federal government last year prior to when the Accountable Care Act was passed, and they were asked to expand upon and expound upon what would be considered to be women's preventive services. And their statement, and I read to you as a quote, is that they recommended that women's preventive services include a fuller range of contraceptive education, counseling, methods, and services so that women can better avoid unwanted pregnancies and space their pregnancies to promote optimal birth outcomes. Well, these services are currently available, and if women wanted to avoid an unwanted or unplanned pregnancy, all they would have to do is engage in natural family planning, which costs nothing, has no side effects, is easy to learn, works 98% of the time, and is readily available almost in every state, anywhere in the country, including online services such as the couple-to-couple link. The other recommendation that came out of the Institute of Medicine, which is a branch of the National Academies that is funded as a not-for-profit organization, and the people that are on the committee are invited by the government to be members of the committee. Their recommendation 5.5 is that the full range of Food and Drug Administration approved contraceptive methods, sterilization services, and patient education and counseling for women with reproductive capacity be made available. So these are some of the background information. So what the government mandate says is that every institution that has every employer that is mandated to provide health care services, and only religious employers such as the churches themselves don't have to provide contraceptive services. So that's the opt-out exclusionary clause that's included. But every other religious institution that is an employer, such as a Catholic university, a Catholic hospital, Catholic charities, any other type of Catholic organization or a volunteer organization, other than the actual diocese or the archdiocese or the church themselves, would have to provide those services. Well, when Cardinal-designate Dolan objected to this through the USCCB, and we'll get into reading some of those issues shortly, the response from the government was the alternate to the mandate that was announced last Friday that said, well, here's what we'll do. we'll have the insurance companies pay for the contraceptive services, and that way the religious institutions won't get involved. Well, I'm not exactly sure what your perception is of this particular type of statement that's coming from the government, but basically the accommodation on the contraceptive mandate is nothing more than an accounting gimmick. The religious institutions still have to fund the insurance which buys the abortifacient. That might not occur to a person who doesn't fully understand morally based conscience convictions, but God-inspired moral convictions are not accommodated. So much for religious institutions, but here's the critical points. Institutions do not order abortifacients. Doctors do. So for us doctors and other healthcare providers who can write prescriptions, this is a conscience issue that the president has not addressed. And in a single-payer system where the doctor orders what the system allows and what the patient wants, at least in the area of reproductive health, the doctor has to do that or the doctor doesn't get paid. How's that for economic coercion? And that's what's coming. So as a physician, my conscience rights and my conscience clauses are being negated. I don't have the right to be able to practice according to my conscience. And I don't know what the government and the president actually thinks that he is doing. I don't know if he thinks he's fooling people or actually thinks that we actually believe this. But the costs to hormonal contraception and sterilization runs into tens of millions of dollars every year. 37% of people in the United States are sterilized. It's the number one type of contraception used by people that can afford it. And so it's more than one third, and these surgeries include anesthesia, operating room expenses, lab work, and other types of things. They run into thousands of dollars per person, and when you take 37% of the sexually active childbearing population between the ages of 15 and 44 that have been sterilized, you're talking about a lot of money. So somebody has to pay for this, and the insurance companies are being mandated by the government to pay for it. Well, where do they get their money from? They don't print money. They get their money from the premiums that are paid for by the employers for the individual persons that are covered by that insurance. So how will they pass along an increase in their costs? They'll raise the premiums. So everyone's premium will go up, and as their premium goes up, all of the conscientious objectors that do not want to provide contraceptive services or pay for them because of the religious beliefs that they hold deep within their hearts, they will be paying those increased premiums, and they will be subsidizing all of these contraception, all these contraceptive services. So this is totally nothing more than an accounting gimmick that violates the very rights of our Constitution and the First Amendment. It gives us the right of the freedom to be able to practice our religion without government intervention. What I would like to have you now hear is a response that Betty will make a comment and then read some information about the unspoken side of this birth control mandate from an article that was written by Jen Giroux.
My biggest concern, though, before I speak on that is, our religious freedoms, our religious rights are being thrown out the window. We do not, they are taking away our rights. They have already begun. There are states that Catholic charities have stopped doing adoption because it's the law to allow same-sex couples to adopt through Catholic charities. Once it becomes the law, we can't change it. That's why this is so important that this not go into effect. We Catholics need to stand up for our religious rights because it's going to be birth control. What is it going to be next? Our religious rights are being compromised, and we need to stand up for this. And it's through the Catholic Church is against contraception. They consider it intrinsically evil, and there's great reasons why. A lot of women, and I'm just appalled sometimes when I watch TV, it really frustrates me, that women are not thinking this through. They don't think that contraception is bad for their health. They don't believe it, and they don't think it. But we have increased risks of many health issues. So this woman, Jen Giroux, who's a registered nurse and who also works for Human Life International, has spoken, and she says that the birth control mandate has forced the issue of contraception to move from being the elephant in the room to center stage. Perhaps in time, we will see that it was a hidden blessing in our country. For years, pro-life organizations refused to discuss the topic, despite the fact that free access to birth control increases the number of surgical abortions. Most people repeat over and over that birth control decreases the number of abortions. Nothing is further from the truth. In fact, today, every child born in the U.S., there are estimated 2 children killed in the womb from both surgical and chemical abortions and abortifacient drug abortions. What is being talked about is that the new mandate also predisposes women to serious long-term and permanent health problems in conjunction with the defense of both religious liberty and the spiritual well-being of women, we must also refute the absurd and the deceptive statement that women are healthier on birth control. What lies? Women are not healthier. They're providing free hormonal birth control to women under the guise of preventative services and women's health is a lie, and all women of all faiths deserve to know the truth. We've spoken about birth control on this radio program before, on hormonal contraceptions and the evil and the medical implications of this, the increase of breast cancer and strokes and blood clots. This is not minimal. This is huge. How many women do you know in your lives that have breast cancer? Were they on hormonal contraception? Who knows? Possibly. And this is really a serious issue. Hormonal contraception that fails women. Since 1975, there's been a 400% increase in in situ breast cancer among premenopausal women under the age of 50. 400% increase in breast cancer. This mirrors the increased use of birth control over the same years. And in situ is a medical term which means at the location. A Mayo Clinic study confirms that any young girl or woman who is on hormonal birth control for 4 years prior to their first full-term pregnancy increases their breast cancer risk by 52%. Women who use hormonal birth control for more than 5 years are 4 times more likely to develop cervical cancer. The International Agencies for Research on Cancer, a research arm of the World Health Organization, classifies all forms of hormonal contraception as a group 1 carcinogen. This group of cancer-causing agents also includes cigarettes and asbestos. Why is it that the FDA can require cigarette manufacturers to place a warning label and real-life photos of corpses on cigarette packages to warn consumers of health dangers, yet they in turn take an equally harmful substance, hormonal birth control, and force companies to give it away free to young girls without parental consent and to all, to women of all ages. For high school boys and men to take steroid drugs, it's a crime. Whereas girls and women taking steroid drugs, hormonal contraception, are now treated as if they're taking a sacred life-preserving vitamin that women can't live without.
Further, in October 2010, the New York Times carried an article about hormone replacement therapy, which are combinations of estrogen and progesterone utilized for menopausal women. It quoted the American Medical Association as warning women that these postmenopausal drugs, which were originally marketed as keeping women young and sexy, were discovered instead to be more likely to cause advanced and deadly breast cancer. It stopped short of making one other startling revelation. The only difference between hormone replacement therapy drugs, which cause deadly breast cancer, and hormonal birth control drugs, which are now mandated by the government administration, is that the birth control drugs are six times higher the dosage, and they're the very same drugs. Never before has the United States government mandated that private companies must provide services, and it adds insult to injury when this mandate includes substances that can harm women and cause them to unknowingly self-abort their babies a certain percentage of the time when they're using these substances. How is it possible for women to self-abort when birth control is meant to prevent pregnancy? It's possible because many of these birth control methods still allow a woman to ovulate every month, and if intimacy occurs during that time, it's possible to get pregnant. Recently, doctors tried to figure out why some women could not get pregnant utilizing artificial insemination. They conducted a study that found that the lining of the uterus has to be at least 8 millimeters thick in order for a baby in its tiniest form to implant and grow in the womb. They further found that the use of the hormonal contraception in any form, as mentioned above, keeps the uterine lining below 6 millimeters. To be clear, if a baby is conceived by a woman on hormonal birth control, the embryo cannot implant and grow the full 9 months because the lining is too thin, and instead, the baby in its tiniest form is unknowingly self-aborted by its mother. That's what's meant by the word abortifacient. It isn't just the morning after pill or the product Ulipristal, which is a derivative of RU486, that is the abortion-inducing drug category. It's nearly all of the hormonal birth control products that are being mandated and approved by the FDA. Since Roe v. Wade in 1973, there have been over 55 million surgical abortions. These chemical abortions add an estimated 250 million additional abortions to our nation's Holocaust. This is not information that should be kept from the public. Women deserve to be told the truth. They are not being warned that current contraceptive methods are increasing the risks of breast, liver, and cervical cancer. They're not being told about the silent killer effect, which is causing them to unknowingly abort their babies. Instead, they're being told that they are healthier on birth control because it decreases ovarian and uterine cancer. That is true. But according to the American Cancer Society, out of 100 women with cancer, 31 will have breast cancer, 6 will have uterine cancer, and 3 will have ovarian cancer. This is not a healthy trade-off of risk that's worth taking. If indeed it's cheaper to prevent than to treat, then it's time for the White House and all health agencies within the government to sound the warning trumpet to warn women on hormonal birth control about these devastating medical consequences. Clearly, hormonal contraception does not help women at risk. It places women at risk. All these issues and facts are annotated from medical journals and medical literature. But we don't want to make this totally about the ill effects of hormonal contraception and the negative aspects, because as mentioned at the beginning of the program, this is not a contraceptive issue, and making it a contraceptive issue will potentially lead us into losing this battle because the majority of society does not agree with Catholic Church teaching, including so-called Catholics who list themselves as Catholics even though they may not be practicing, because they either don't know what the church teaching is on contraception, they don't know why the church teaches what it teaches on contraception, or they just choose to ignore it whether they know it and understand it or not. And you've heard some of the figures that have been thrown about. What I would like to do is be able to try to enlighten you a little bit by giving you an excellent response from our new Archbishop of Philadelphia, Charles Chaput.
And I want to remind you that we are taking calls today at Holy Spirit Radio, 215-345-1570. Give us a call and let's talk about this topic. 215-345-1570.
So His Excellency Archbishop Chaput has responded thusly to the mandate and the accommodation. The U.S. Department of Health and Human Services refused on January 20, 2012, to broaden the exception to its mandate that nearly all Catholic employers must cover contraception, abortifacients, and sterilization in their health care plans. An accommodation offered Friday by the White House did not solve the problem. Instead, it triggered withering criticism from legal scholars such as Notre Dame's Carter Sneed, Harvard's Marianne Glendon, Princeton's Robert George, and Catholic University of America President John Garvey, along with non-Catholic scholars including Yuval Levin, the religious liberty law firm, the Beckett Fund, and numerous Catholic and other organizations. Many Catholics are confused and angry. They should be. Quite a few Catholics supported the president in his last election. So the ironies here are bitter. Many feel betrayed. They're baffled that the administration would seek to coerce Catholic employers, private and corporate, to violate their religious convictions. But it's clear that such actions are developing into a pattern. Whether it was the administration's early shift toward the anemic language of freedom of worship instead of the more historically grounded and robust concept of freedom of religion in key diplomatic discussions, or its troubling effort to regulate religious ministers recently rejected 9-0 by the Supreme Court in the Hosanna-Tabor case, or the revocation of the U.S. Bishops' Conference human trafficking grant for refusing to refer rape victims to abortion clinics, it seems obvious that this administration is, to put it generously, tone deaf to people of faith. Philadelphians may wish to reflect on the following facts. The Archdiocesan Secretariat for Catholic Human Services spends $278 million annually on services to the community. About 4,000 employees make up our Secretariat's workforce. Catholic Social Services is the largest social service agency in Pennsylvania and the largest residential care social service subcontractor with the Department of Human Services of the City of Philadelphia. There's more. Archdiocesan Catholic Healthcare Services is the largest faith-based provider of long-term care services to the poor and the elderly in the five-county area and the seventh largest nationally. And our Nutritional Development Services Ministry serves more than 8 million meals a year to school children, summer programs, and child care centers. It also provides 2 million pounds of non-perishable food to needy families and the elderly through their community food program. Much of the money used by these ministries comes from public funding. But, of course, the reason these ministries are trusted with public funding is they do an excellent job. The service relationship works well without compromising the integrity of either the government or the church. In fact, in a practical sense, government often benefits more than the church. It's also important to note that many millions of dollars dispersed are resources directly donated by faithful Catholics to carry out their gospel mission to serve the needy. For the church, this makes perfect sense. As a believing community, we share our resources freely and gladly. We'll cooperate with anyone in service to the common good. so long as we're not forced to compromise our religious beliefs. But the HHS mandate, including its latest variant, is belligerent, unnecessary, and deeply offensive to the content of Catholic belief. Any such mandate would make it morally compromising for us to provide health care benefits to the staffs of our public service ministries. Moreover, we can't afford to be fooled yet again by evasive and misleading allusions to the administration's alleged flexibility on such decisions. The HHS mandate needs to be rescinded. Many critics are focusing on the details of this or that particular version of the HHS regulation, the narrowness of the religious exemption, the breadth of the mandate, the hollowness of the grace period. As useful as this approach may be, it risks wandering into the weeds. The White House response on these points is ambiguous and weak. The true magnitude of the issue is getting lost as just another debate about details. Betty and I always say that the devil is in the details.
Amen.
To go on further from Archbishop Chaput, in reality, no similarly aggressive attack on religious freedom in our country has occurred in recent memory. The current administration prides itself on being measured and deliberate. The current HHS mandate needs to be understood as exactly that. Commentators are using words like gaffe or ill-conceived or mistake to describe the mandate. They're wrong. It's impossible to see this regulation as some happenstance policy. It's been too long in the making. Despite all the public apprehension about culture warriors on the political right in the past, the current administration has created an HHS mandate that is the embodiment of a culture war. At its heart is a seemingly deep distrust of the formative role religious faith has on personal and social conduct, and a deep distaste for religion's moral influence on public affairs. To say that this view is contrary to the founders' thinking and the record of American history would be an understatement. Critics may characterize my words here as partisan or political. These are my personal views, and of course people are free to disagree. But it is this administration, not Catholic ministries or institutions or bishops, that chose the timing and the nature of the fight. The onus is entirely on the White House, which also has the power to remove the issue from public conflict. Catholics should not be misled into accepting feeble compromises on issues of principle. The HHS mandate is a bad law, and not merely bad, but dangerous and insulting. It needs to be withdrawn now. So, as you can see, we have a new sheriff in town, if you will, and Archbishop Chaput is responding as a leader of his flock, and he is not making any bones about it or any qualms about it, and he's not afraid to speak out. He is expressing opinions that are being also echoed by other organizations, and these organizations are constantly speaking out and constantly stepping up. One of these organizations is the American Association of Pro-Life OBGYNs, and they're speaking out on behalf as a medical institution of pro-life OBGYNs. They're not all Catholics, but the majority of them are Christians, and that is not a requirement to belong. You just have to subscribe to being pro-life and be an OBGYN to belong to the organization. There are over 200 of us that belong to the organization. So Betty will start out reading some of your voices.
Yeah, I'm losing my voice here. I'm sorry.
So I'll continue, but to remind you again, we're here live at 215-345-1570 at Holy Spirit Radio, 1570 AM and 1420 AM in Coatesville. And we are talking about the HHS mandate and the religious rights that people are having potentially violated by this mandate. So the American Association of Pro-Life OBGYN has submitted a position statement on behalf of the House Oversight and Government Reform Committee, and their statement is this. The American Association of Pro-Life OBGYNs objects to the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services mandate that contraceptives, emergency contraception, and sterilization be provided for all women without cost. This mandate fundamentally violates the conscience and First Amendment rights of many individuals, institutions, and healthcare plans that seek to provide medical services in accord with their own beliefs and prioritize medical treatments according to their own values. And we have a call. While we're waiting to hook up this call, it was from George from Collegeville. And if we got disconnected, hopefully he'll call back. In the meantime, we were discussing the APLOG statement to the House Oversight and Government Reform Committee.
Nope, I think we lost
them. I think we lost them. Hopefully George will call back. Again, it's 215-345-1570. To skip down a couple of paragraphs, one of the issues relative to this APLOG statement is that the APLOG especially opposes the HHS mandate of this regulation without the usual 60-day comment period. We recommend that these objectionable provisions be withdrawn from the guidelines for women's preventive services under the Affordable Care Act. We request that APLOG members ask their congressmen and others to protest these mandates and other mandates under the Affordable Care Act. And we urge our members and their representatives to support H.R. 1179 and the Senate version 1467, the Respect for Rights of Conscience Act, which will provide comprehensive protection of conscience rights for individuals and institutions. And we urge that physicians educate their patients about these violations of their fundamental rights. So you can see that this is not just a religious issue. This is really a religious rights issue that is violating not only our conscience protection rights, but also violating the rights of individual physicians to be able to practice medicine according to their own conscience. And we're all called to form our own conscience, and I, as a Catholic physician who does not prescribe contraceptives or do sterilization procedures, will not subscribe, cooperate, or participate in the provision of these services, regardless of whether or not they're mandated. And if I lose my insurance rights, well, then so be it. Hopefully we're back on the phone again with our caller. Hello, are you there?
Hello, are you there?
We are. Good afternoon. Thank you for calling in.
Okay. Anyway, on your comments on the contraceptive mandate, one thing that I've been trying to get at as much as possible is Planned Parenthood sells contraceptives. So if the government is forcing insurance companies to provide coverage, is the contraceptive mandate for the good of women, or is it to enhance the money available to contraceptive providers?
Well, it's probably a combination, probably more the latter than the former, but the other issue that is underlying all this, George, is that the Title X funding to Planned Parenthood annually is in the $385 million range, and that comes through Title X, and it comes through federal tax dollars, and then Planned Parenthood in turn, as the number one abortion provider and probably one of the largest contraception providers in the country, is providing these products and services to women, young girls, children, free of charge, supposedly, but it's actually funded by the government. And that's the point I made at the beginning of the program. These services are already available free. Anybody, any day of the week, anytime they want, if they want or need or choose to use contraception, can walk into any Planned Parenthood and get a pap smear, get a breast exam, get quote-unquote preventive services, and get their free samples and a prescription for their contraception. And if they can't afford it, they'll give them the medication. And they have a sliding fee scale based on what your income is and what you can afford. And they're already funded by the government.
Right, but now they can get it for nothing, no matter what their income level is.
Right, so they'll just increase the funding and increase the Title X enhancements or inducements that come from the government to clinics and agencies like that, and they'll just make more money.
Yeah.
So why did we need
the bill in the first place?
Well, you didn't. That's why I said in the beginning of the program, it really isn't about contraception, because the services are there, the money's there, the tax dollars are there, whether people want to admit it or not. It really is about violating or suppressing your rights to practice according to your conscience and ultimately your religious rights.
Right. Okay, with that, I made my comment, so keep up the good work.
Great. Please. Thank you very much for calling, and take care and have a great day.
Okay,
God bless.
Bye.
Thanks. Bye. The other aspect of that is that, and one of the things I was discussing with Betty on the way up here, is that, you know, the Catholic Church is not the only religious organization that teaches that contraception is intrinsically evil. The Orthodox Jewish faith and the Muslim faith also teach within their tenets that contraception is not acceptable. They've always believed that. We have a much higher percentage of Muslims and a slightly lower percentage of Jewish people, less than the Muslims but more than the Catholics, that subscribe to the fact that contraception is evil. And so I'm wondering where the support is coming from these religious organizations. I have not heard specifically or read specifically anything from our Jewish brethren or our Muslim brethren out there protesting this. And we all need to be careful, because regardless of what your faith is, whether you're a Muslim or a Jew or an evangelical Christian or a Protestant or a Catholic, no matter what faith that you subscribe to, and this is not a faith debate, this is beginning to go down a slippery slope where the government will, if they can mandate this and force you to do this, then they will start forcing you to do anything that they choose to want to do that they don't really agree with.
And well, this could force, could this force our Catholic institutions to close?
Well, certainly I can tell you right now that regardless of what the Catholic Hospital Association has said, and they have contradicted the bishops, and so any of you out there who are wondering why the quote-unquote Catholic Hospital Association has supported this accommodation in the mandate, I would tell you that they do not speak for the Catholic Church, and they are as secularized as many other groups. But I would say to you, ultimately, that yes, it will be forcing these instances, because they're not going to give in. They will not provide these services through any way, shape, or form of financing contraceptive services. The Catholic Church has maintained its teaching against contraception for over 2,000 years. They were challenged several years ago in 1930 with the Protestant churches in trying to change what it is that they supported for grave reasons only in a marriage, and the Protestant church has caved and the Catholic Church did not. We've talked on this program before that it came to a head again at Vatican II in 1965, and in 1968 Pope Paul VI wrote an encyclical called Humanae Vitae that spoke very eloquently and very directly that contraception, any form of contraception, anything that separates the unitive and the procreative aspects of the marital act is intrinsically evil, that anything that has as its end or its means to prevent the formation of a baby during the marital act is intrinsically evil. However, it does not prevent using natural methods of continence, natural family planning, fertility awareness methods, with abstinence during those fertile times to plan your families. Again, only utilized by 2% of the population. We've been on the radio for 13 years espousing natural family planning, trying to tell people that this is available, easy to use, 98% effective in planning purposes. It is not Catholic contraception. It is Catholic mandated, Catholic issued, Catholic supported natural family planning or fertility awareness.
Yes.
And these hospitals provide, Catholic hospitals and Catholic institutions, as was just referenced, with all the good work that the Catholic Church does by Archbishop Chaput in his letter, these Catholic hospitals provide 30% of all the health care in the United States. Imagine tomorrow, if this mandate went into effect, that 30% of the Catholic hospitals would close their doors and transfer those patients into secular hospitals. You would not be able to, the system as it's currently designed, the hospitals as they currently exist, and the government at its current financing level and its $14 trillion budget will not be able to sustain the provision of health care services in this country without the Catholic hospital systems.
And it also would include if the Catholic Church wanted to create their own health care
insurance company,
they would be mandated, because this is the law, they would be mandated to follow this. So we're at a loss here. So we can't even provide our own health care insurance without providing these contraceptions, because it's the law that our government has imposed upon us, just as they have imposed abortion upon us. So we as Catholics need to stand up. This is getting worse and worse. It's going to affect our elderly next and our ability to, you know, when we are hospitalized, whether we'll have treatment or not. And we have another caller.
We have Sue from Doylestown. Hello, good afternoon.
I just turned on the radio and heard a little bit, so I haven't heard the whole show.
Uh-huh.
But I wanted to just tell you, actually, I'm going up to my parish right now to drop off letters that I wrote to my pastor and all the clergy recommending that they attend your NFP conference that's coming up in March, because I said, you know, we really never hear about contraception. So in this whole thing, I think a lot of our Catholics are going to wonder, what's the big deal? You know, like, why are we making such a big deal about contraception? And it's because they don't understand the church's teaching. And I think it's because the priests don't really understand. I don't think they understand why this is so important and how contraception hurts families and hurts relationships. And so I just want to call and maybe suggest that other people might consider doing what I'm doing. I'm telling my priest that I'll pay for their registration fee, and I'm just telling them why I think it's so important for them to know more about contraception and humanity so that they can better explain it to all their parishioners.
Well,
so
thank
I
you.
I just wanted to pass that along.
Thank you, Sue. I mean, you are amazing, and it's wonderful that you care so much to want to do this, because that's what we need. We need to build our army of Catholics that will stand up for the truth and for the health of women. We're all being snowed with this,
right,
with this
right.
mandate, and we cannot allow it to be a law.
And there's no such thing as a coincidence, and it's no small coincidence. We selected this topic last summer in July of 2011.
Oh, you're kidding. Wow.
And
wow.
We spent several months getting the speakers on board and soliciting them and arranging all this stuff. And so this conference was set up and already scheduled to take place at Our Lady of Good Counsel on Saturday, March the 24th, 2012. And so thank you so much for plugging the conference, and this, not uncoincidentally again, is our 10th anniversary conference from the Philadelphia Natural Family Planning Network. So for the last 10 years, St. Mary Medical Center and the Catholic Medical Association and the Philadelphia Natural Family Planning Network have supported and sponsored this conference to get the word out about the evils of contraception and about the health issues. And we specifically this year targeted priests and deacons, seminarians, and those men who are in the diaconate program at the seminary, so that they can come and learn how to homilize and talk and teach to the congregations about these issues.
And do you find that priests do sort of misunderstand that they think, well, how are families going to do without contraception? You know, we all know, you know, I mean, I have two daughters who have had three cesareans, and so, yes, to have another birth, it would be risky for them. But they don't understand, quite frankly, you know, because older children don't always listen to their mother. You know?
Well, we've been brainwashed as a generation of women that we can only prevent birth by using a contraceptive pill when that's not the case.
And no one is talking about all the very real health consequences. You
exactly.
know, to think that they're telling us that this is for women's health.
Right.
And you know, they're really, you know, not looking at all the serious consequences and then the not so serious consequences. You
exactly.
know, just the little tiny things that interfere with your health and whatever. I mean,
no contraception is 100% effective.
Right. So,
and
you
people
know,
have this false sense of security when that's not true.
Absolutely.
And when they could know their bodies and learn natural family planning, and instead of taking a hormonal contraception every single day, that would increase their health issues.
And do you think if our priests really understood that this really isn't good for families? I mean, I think
it's
been snowed too. You know, that they kind of think like, well, the church says this, but you know, how you know they have that compassion for families, which is misplaced, or you know, they just don't understand. And that's why I think it's so important that if we understand, that we really go to our priests and try and encourage them to come and learn more, because I think
our priests, like the rest of us, are caught up in our culture,
mm-hmm.
and they're afraid. And I just want you to tell them that if they don't understand or they don't know this, yes, they can attend this conference, but they can also call us at any time. And we will help them and support them, because we don't ask priests to teach natural family planning. We just ask them to preach about it, and we can do the other work for them. And they are not alone in this.
And the other aspect...
But we need them to preach about the church's teaching.
Absolutely.
We need them to preach about Humanae Vitae.
Absolutely. Amen. Thank you.
And part of the problem, Sue, is that a lot of... Not a lot, but a substantial number of older priests were educated in the seminary in the 70s and the 80s, and they were educated by dissenting priests and bishops and theologians who dissented against Humanae Vitae. They didn't agree with Pope Paul VI, and they thought that it was optional and don't understand where the magisterium comes in with its teaching authority. And now a lot of those priests are starting to age out and retire. And we have a whole new generation of priests who are being educated in seminaries in theology of the body and learning the encyclicals. And John Paul II spent 26 years of his papacy expanding upon and explaining what the church teaching is on human sexuality. And so these newer, younger priests are coming out. And yes, it's difficult to give a homily. And yes, it's difficult to talk to a wide-ranging audience in a congregation. But they need to step out and do it. And one of the talks that we're going to have is by a priest by the name of Father Tim Christie, who gave a talk a few years ago on how to give a homily on NFP. And he's going to speak on why we don't know about Humanae Vitae and theology of the body.
And thanks for mentioning that, because in the letter I'm going to drop off right now to my parish clergy, I mentioned that in particular, that I thought that was going to be really important for them to hear. So I applaud you for the conference and for, you know, wonderful speakers and topics there. And I do encourage everyone to go or, you know, to find out more about it. So thank you for all you do.
Well, we appreciate that. Thanks, and thank you for your call, and have a blessed weekend.
You too.
All right, take care. Thanks.
And on that vein, again, we want to promote this conference, which is Saturday, March 24th, 2012. It's going to be from 9 a.m. to 3:30 p.m. at Our Lady of Good Counsel Trinity Parish Center in Southampton. You can contact us through the radio station here at 1570 a.m., holyspiritradio.org or the PNFPN.org for more information. And We are going to have a great lineup of speakers, Father Brian Bransfield, Dr. Peter Colosi, June Metchijic, and Dr. Kyle Biter, and Father Tim Christie, and Dr. Les Rupersberger. So it's real important that you, you know, think about coming to this conference. We would love to have you. You'll get breakfast and lunch, and it's going to be greatly informative.
And we have another call from Jennifer from Yardley.
Hello.
Hello, Jennifer. Thanks for calling the program. How are you today?
Good. I'd like to just commend you for speaking about this today. And I thank you for bringing this, you know, in the spotlight. And one thing that I just wanted to mention that came to my attention, I got an email about a rally that's going on, and it's called Stand Up for Religious Freedom. And you can go to their website at standupforreligiousfreedom.com. And it's a nationwide rally that's going to occur on Friday, March 23rd at noon at many different locations throughout the nation for just to stand up against this mandate. So,
wow, that's great information.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Jen. We'll make sure that we put it on our website and have that information available and get that out so that people have access to that. We really appreciate that because we need all the help that we can get. Well, we're winding down to just about a minute and a half. Do you have any other question or comments that you'd like to make?
No, I'll let you go, and I thank you.
Thank you so much, and
thank
take
you.
Care, and have a blessed weekend, Jen. Thanks
right,
for calling
thank
the program.
Okay,
God bless.
Bye-bye.
Thanks. God bless. So we're down to just about a minute, and we'd like to wind up. We hope we touched a few nerves. We got a couple of phone calls. As Betty mentioned, our conference coming up on March 24th. Go to pnfpn.org. We appreciate the fact that you listen to us and tune in to Catholic Radio. And be aware and praise and thank God for Catholic Radio and the people that the Dale and Jane Myers and the people that help run this radio station through a foundation. We need all the support that we can get because Catholic Radio is out there speaking the truth of God's teaching. So we'll end with a Hail Mary, Betty.
Hail Mary,
full of grace,
the Lord
is
with thee.
Blessed art thou among women,
and blessed
is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Lady of Guadalupe, pray for us. We'll see you next month. Take care and God bless.